Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Hey, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and today is the day. Today is the day we hear from our good old friend, Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve. And the question is, will she or won't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. Can you imagine what we've got going on here? Can you imagine the talk in the room of the meeting? We've got the all-powerful... I guess it's the Fed, not Oz. But of course, some of you believe that Frank Baum wrote The Wizard of Oz as a... what the Federal Reserve is. So, and the yellow brick road was actually the road of silver, but that's another story for another day. But what are they going to do? And what will the market reaction be? I think that's always something to kind of wonder about is, you know, markets have expectations. And one of the things that we have to understand as traders, as investors, is, see, it's not so much what's going to happen. What exactly is the street itself expecting? And that happens to be a bigger story, okay, is what does the street expect? There's a lot of parties on both sides of this equation. And of course, you know my side, there will be no rate increase. I've actually bet cash money on TV with Dagan McDowell. But, you know, what are they going to do? And the funny thing is me personally, don't believe they know what they're going to do. And, you know, I'm waiting for the smoke to come out of the chimney so we can see what their intentions are. But most likely, their reaction will be to once again kick the can a little farther down the road. And I think that is, to me, that is the problem with the Keynesian economic theory, is to continue to hope that troubles disappear. And as we know, we all know, that troubles just don't disappear. Troubles require work. They do not go away by themselves. Okay? You know, we can pray and hope and think that they will. But anybody who's done anything in their life, no matter at what level, we know one thing for certainty, that troubles just don't disappear. They must be addressed. They must be handled. And boy, I got to tell you, from my perspective, nothing's been handled worse than our economy. Nothing has been handled worse than having Ben Bernanke and now Janet Yellen as our leaders. I mean, think about it. Janet Yellen is the most powerful person in the world. Not only the most powerful woman, but the most powerful person. Because monetary policy is what drives everything. And if we think, if anybody thinks what they're doing is actually good, I think you better think again. But of course, if you're among the big benefactors of that, you have to love what she's doing, because it's obviously benefiting you. But overall, this is a disaster. And in my opinion, will go down in history as the dark era of the Federal Reserve. The era in which we had a bunch of people that, again, I can't say they're not smart, but the we'll call this the lack of common sense era. We'll call this the idiocy of the banking system, because, you know, one of the things that irritates me more than anything else is the people that are getting bailed out, the people that are benefiting most from what's going on here, is the people that put us in the position we were in. It was the people who were giving out loans to anybody who walked in off the street to buy a house. It was the people that were flipping homes. It was almost as if it were the internet bubble revisited in the housing bubble. So for those who say that this is not a bubble, I think that you do not live in reality. For those who continue to tell us that things are better, I think you're looking in, you're using the glass half full approach, thinking that they're actually doing something that is benefiting the country. But when you look at the jobs created, if you look at the production of what we now do in this country, pretty soon we'll produce nothing. Okay, but we certainly can and have the ability to print money. And, you know, if you believe that that's really the thing to do, I believe that you probably should look again. I think that when you understand how money, business, and economies work, that if we were running our business the way that the United States is running their business, you would be probably behind bars right next to Big Bernie Madoff, as they continue to work the Ponzi scheme throughout the world. Not just here. This is a world crisis. This is a world Ponzi scheme that is building into what could be one of the greater collapses of all time. Now, again, I'm not bringing up or trying to create fear. I do not want you to panic and exit the markets. What I want you to do is I want you to sit back and think about it and look at the logic behind what these people are doing and what has really happened to our economy over the period of time that we've seen. We have spent $4 trillion, and look what we got for $4 trillion. We got nothing, okay? We got no growth, no jobs, and from my view and standpoint, no real hope from where we are now. Now, in my opinion, the only hope will come was when we finally do get this correction, this collapse, and maybe it'll wake their asses up and say, you know what, we screwed this up for the 75th time in our history. We have screwed up another opportunity to make things better when they had all of the tools to make it better. And if you don't think so, think about it. Think about what could have been done to improve the American economy, the United States, to make everybody better. But again, I'm just one guy voicing my opinion as to what I see happening, and I got news for you. I don't like it, okay? I think it's ridiculous. I think it sucks. I think they're imbeciles as to what they're doing, and it pisses me off. But unfortunately, I have to take a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. I'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging with you today. And as in every day, And always fun to be here and always great to be here. And again, you know, I have issues and problems, but I also like to share a lot of things that I do. And when I get to speak as one of the talking heads, as you know, I am not the typical, excuse me, talking head. But on Thursdays, I always get the pleasure to be on with Stuart Varney. So I'm going to play parts of that and give you comments in between. But here's me on Varney on Thursday. Here we go.
Talk about the opening of the market. Ashley Webster, Sandra Smith, Todd Horowitz, and Brad McMillan. See what happens when I don't have a script? I just totally lost it. The opening bell will ring in 15 seconds, and we are expecting a loss of 50, maybe 60 points. Where we close today is anybody's guess. The question that I'm asking everybody is 16,000. Is that the bottom? Is that the closing bottom of this market? Well, we'll see. The trading day has begun. You hear that bang right there? Kind of a bell. We're off. We're running. And we're, oh, look at that. We're up 7 points. We're up 9 points. We're, you know, the future said we're going to go down.
Give it a minute, Stu. Come on. Just all the stocks haven't even opened yet.
And that is interesting because, again, futures do trade ahead, and sometimes the markets are accounting for it. But he asked the question, is 16,000 the bottom? And I'm going to say no with 100% certainty in my mind, because at least in my opinion, we're going to check out the lows that were put in on the 24th. Whether we're going higher or not, I think we see those lows. I think something else important is to listen to Sandra Smith as she spoke and said, hey, listen, Stu, they aren't the futures. There's what you have. So let's get back to them, and let's hear what more of the conversation.
What's this? Jeez. Why would people want to watch a show that says we're going to open down and then we open up? What's going on?
Because you shouldn't tell them that. Futures don't translate
exactly
to where we're going to open.
Finally, I was right. Thank you very much indeed.
The Varney effect.
All right, Brad McMillan. The Varney effect? Do not say that.
No.
Brad McMillan, I want you to come into this one. Why have stocks in the last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks in September, why have they been all over the place? Why now?
Well, we've got a lot of uncertainty coming into the market. We have a lot of people on vacation, which is a big part of it. But most of all, technically, we've gone into uncharted territory. We broke a very significant resistance level, and now the market's searching for direction, and we don't have it yet.
He doesn't get a buzzer?
You're astonishing, Brad. You didn't get the buzzer for...
And he should have got the buzzer and uncharted territory. What the hell is he talking about? Okay. We were just down at 15.2. And he's talking about uncertainty. We know there's uncertainty, but are you kidding me? He's talking about uncharted territory. My God, again, this is what bothers me about these guys that come on. But let's go back and listen to some more. I think it's important. So here we go.
That, I mean, the technical level. I mean, belated buzzer. All right, Todd, are the factors that are making this thing go up and down? What are they, Todd?
Well, I think what we're waiting for is everybody's trying to figure out and handicap what the Fed is going to do. And I think the Fed is going to do nothing, as they always do, and they're going to hide in the corner. And this market has picked a direction. It's going lower because we can see every rally we've had over the last 4 weeks has been sold into heavily. Even the big China relief rally from Tuesday, they buried it on Wednesday and looked for us to go lower. And 16,000 is not going to hold.
No.
We're going significantly lower from there.
Yeah, Sandra, okay, I want to ask you a second. Go on.
All right. Todd Horowitz is a Chicago guy. I've known him a while. Actually, his name on the floor is Bubba. Bubba, are you saying there's no interest rate hike by the end of the year? And are you saying not even until this current administration is out of office?
I am saying no interest rate raise this year. Maybe not even next year. I'm saying most likely.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm hearing
more about. Quantitative. QE4, I'm saying, is going to come out. I think that you've now got Christine Lagarde involved in this thing, another academia scholar who has no idea how to run an economy.
Wait a minute, Sandra, let me go straight at you. Yeah. What would the market make of no interest rate hike for another 18 months?
I'm saying that it would finally translate to bad news, because it would mean what the Fed is seeing is so bad that they think that the markets would react so negatively to an interest rate hike. Oh. I mean, think about it. What economic data out there is really good.
And that has been my point all along. And of course, Sandra Smith is a friend of mine, and she's now in New York, used to be in Chicago, and was actually a trader. So she's one of the few that really get the overall picture. I think that it's something that you have to look at and understand here. So she's telling you, and I'm telling you, that again, I believe that the morons that are running the ship are simply not, are clueless about what is happening and how to deal with it. I'm saying that with certainty in my mind. Now, again, it doesn't make me right, but it is something that I see, and I get tired of hearing the other stuff because, again, I do believe that there will be a QE4 because this is the problem that you create when you try to run away from the problems. Let's go back to the show.
I mean, how strong is this recovery?
3.7% growth in the second quarter on an annualized basis.
What are you, are you saying that's good?
Well, I'm saying that that's certainly better than it has been for several years.
I'm just saying, you're getting used to the new norm then.
Okay.
There is, this is terrible.
Dow is now higher again. Look at this. Now the thing is up 10 points and going up. I don't know what's happening here. I guess we could call that volatility.
We could.
Legitimately, that's volatility. Let's go with some of the big names. We watch these things every single day. Sometimes you think we do this too much, but we do it every single day. Apple, $110 per share after the big revelation yesterday. No change, virtually.
Was it that big a revelation?
Well,
it was like, okay.
It's got a pencil.
Yeah. I know, exactly.
And we knew everything beforehand.
A better camera.
We knew it all. How about Netflix? Now, that's been going up. I was watching on vacation, and I saw that thing go up significantly, back to $100 a share on Netflix. Mm-hmm. How about Amazon? They've just gotten rid of the smart, what is the Fire Phone? They're not going to produce that anymore. They're going to sell it. It's now at $518 on Amazon. That has had quite a run. GoPro, I think that's way down in the 30s. Huge drop yesterday. Bounced back 50 cents today. $34.26. On GoPro. Brad McMillan, come back in again. Retrieve yourself from those comments about technical analysis. Are there any of the stocks that you like this morning?
I look at Apple and I say Apple might be an opportunity. They're to some extent, they've been depressed a little bit. You've got new products, but the thing that nobody's talking about is TV. Apple has a history of moving into new areas and opening up entirely new markets. So you may get a head fake from the slower iPhone growth, potentially, but TV is where the growth is, and I think that might be an opportunity.
Okay, you do you own Apple yourself, Brad?
I do not.
Okay.
And there you go. Okay, so he's recommending Apple. And when the question is asked, do you own it? No, I do not. Well, why the hell are you recommending it if you don't own it yourself? Is it not good enough for you to own? Is it good enough for some poor schmuck on the street to buy, but it's not good enough for you, a money manager? I mean, where do we separate the people and that when they're trying to separate you from your dollars? When do we decide that, you know what, maybe it isn't? Not good. I think Apple's a great company. I think at some point it will be a wonderful buy. But at this point, I don't believe so. I believe that Apple is headed lower. I know that it rallied up. And since that show, it was, you know, it had rallied up to 115. But again, this is just simply a temporary measure of a market that is, you know, churning. You know, markets, again, we talk about this a lot. I do believe there's a major correction coming and a major meltdown, but it's not going to happen in one day. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It could, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be typical trading, but I think we're going to work our way lower. But what bothers me is we have people like this saying, hey, I love Apple. We're great here. They got all this and that. Do you own it? Oh, no, I don't own it. Well, what does that mean? Why can't you own it? If you're going to get on air and say wonderful things about a company and how it buy, how come you didn't buy it? That's just the problem that I always have. And that's why I work on hedging portfolios, because I could buy Apple today if I wanted, and I could hedge it out and never have to worry about it going down. But that's something you'll have to email me at bub@thebubbashow.org to find out more about. But we're going to do more of this when we come back. But this is The Bubba Show. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. You know, we've got so many great articles. We've got so many great things written. And the beauty is we're well ahead of the curve in writing. We're ahead of everybody, including the Wall Street Journal and the articles that we write. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz. It is the day of reckoning, and I'm previewing it from before, and we're actually in the middle of a Varney show from last Thursday. But I love to share this, and I love it. And this is the first time I've decided to break down, and because, you know, I don't get to make these comments live because they don't give me a chance. But let's get back to Varney and hear how wonderful everything is. Here we go.
But I'm looking at it for the first time in years.
Oh, that's interesting. Ooh. All right. We have some disappointing numbers from Lululemon back in the news. All right, Nicole, you're down there on the exchange. Tell me about Lululemon.
Lululemon, right? We talk about athletic wear, yoga pants, and the like. It is down almost 9% today at $58.52 a share. So despite higher revenue and raising the forecast, everybody's focusing on what happened with the margins. They actually had weaker margins. They've had costs that have been on the rise. And so with that, despite the fact that they're trying to expand, despite the fact that they're hitting up the men's line. There are men here who come to work with Lululemon pants and trying to have trendier fashions. They're off their highs, 22% off
Nicole,
the highs from 2013.
If I have 2 seconds, Stuart Varney, I want to interject because you might not wear Lululemon, but I have a sister who just told me she took her son back to school shopping, and it wasn't Vineyard Vines, which was the trend for a while, and Abercrombie and all those guys are long gone. He wanted Lululemon. He's the star quarterback of his high school football team. He's a manly man, and he wants
Where's
Lululemon.
Yoga pants?
I thought that was amazing. I didn't know that they had gotten so big with men.
Okay, can you just please put up on the screen all of the people on the show at the moment, all the four guests, myself, and hopefully Nicole as well, because I have a question for everybody. I want you all to answer at the same time. Has anybody, any of you, ever heard of a clothing line called Carhartt? Nod or shake your head.
Yes.
Okay, for the benefit of our viewers, Carhartt is what people in the country wear when they're working. Yes. This is real clothing. This is stuff that means something. It never wears out. It's never probably in fashion, but it's terrific stuff. Yoga
pants
from
Lululemon. That's
the
hardworking man's outfit. Yeah.
Precisely.
Carhartt.
When I'm chopping down trees on the farm,
jackets.
I'm wearing Carhartt.
Yep.
What's your point? Where are you going with this?
You're asking, what's my point? I'll tell you what my point is. I think our viewers are utterly fed up with Lululemon, but they want to hear about something that really is good. Carhartt, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not publicly traded.
I don't own the stock.
Is it publicly traded?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, John Deere Tractor is traded. We could talk about that.
Yeah, well, they're way down, so we're not talking about that. Tune in every morning at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Lauren, Nicole, and not to mention Sandra.
I've handed off the baton.
Oh, you've handed handed it over. It's just the two of them.
We're trying. We're trying.
Carhartt is private, I am reliably informed.
Ah.
Based in Michigan, I am told.
Oh, boy.
Anything else to tell me
about
you?
There we go. I just told you. Midwest girl. We all wore Carhartt.
Okay.
Not even one of us.
Can I move on, please? I'm trying hard.
Sorry.
Fiat Chrysler. They've announced the recall of over a million of the Ram trucks. Ashley, you've got some more?
They have. It's a fixer steering wheel defect. Apparently can cause the airbag to deploy inadvertently. It kind of wears on a particular column behind the steering wheel, and that triggers the airbag. Not good. 1.06 million Ram trucks in the United States are being recalled. They also have some other heavy-duty trucks being recalled and some other vehicles with side curtain airbags. There's a slew of different, but the big one is the Ram trucks.
And zero impact on the stock.
Zero.
It's actually up 7 cents. All right. How about the price of oil this morning? I think we're around $46 a barrel. It's been fairly steady in the mid-$40 per barrel range. The price of gas, down another penny overnight. Yeah, $44.55 on oil. Gas is down another penny, $2.36. Dropped about, I mean, I'm talking very roughly, 10 cents a gallon in the week that I've been away. That is your national average right now. Come back in again, please, Todd. I want you to tell me a forecast, please. How low is gas going to go?
Gas is going
to
probably see under $2.
Whoa, both under $2. Did you hear that?
Brad, did you say that too? Under $2, Brad? You said that?
Brad said it and Todd said it.
Right. So both of them said under $2 per gallon by Christmas. Is that right?
I think so, yeah. I think you've now got the cheaper blend going out. Labor Day's over. The driving season's done. We're going to start to see some dramatic drops at the price of the pump. However, crude oil itself is probably found pretty close to a bottom here, but the price of gas will go lower.
Okay. And I think that's undeniably
barring
good
any
news.
Geopolitical crisis. I don't
Fair
see
enough. Fair
any
point.
Reason
Fair point.
For oil.
But remember, the Federal Reserve is looking for signs of inflation. And here we are. We're talking about a continued fall in the price of these raw materials.
And here you go. And Sandra just got buzzed because she talked too technically. But gas does look like it's coming down. Oil looks like it's going to hold. Now, again, shall we do some quick calculations? If we go back a year ago, when actually about 14 months ago, crude oil was 110 or 107 a barrel. The price of gas at the pump was about 360, 370. So now crude oil has been cut by over 65%, but yet the price of gasoline, the price we pay at the pump, has not been cut that much. Kind of quirky. You know, I love the way that gas stations and oil companies push up the retail price at the pump with everything that's going on, even when we had the refinery shut down here, and they go up a lot faster then they come down. And that is the difference between market, stock market, and trading vehicles. When they go down a lot faster than they go up. However, when you're getting it stuck to you by the retailer, okay, they go up a lot faster and they come down a lot slower. Why? Because then they can increase profit margin. It's an interesting, wonderful world. And, of course, we see coffee now at prices not seen in 10 years at low bottom, but yet Starbucks prices are higher. Let's get back to the show.
There you go.
But all she did was say Federal Reserve. You can't buzz.
Thank you. I even
Sam
avoid saying
that. Yeah, itchy trigger finger on the buzzer right there, I think. The Justice Department has Wall Street executives in its sights, we are told. Ashley, I think they want a perp walk.
They do. Attorney General Loretta Lynch saying she's going to get tough. She doesn't want them. Not only does she want to fine the big financial companies for misdoings, we've seen many. In fact, BNP Paribas paid $8.9 billion in fines last year, but they never coughed up the individual, as Loretta Lynch put it. We want to get to the flesh and blood of the people who are actually doing the bad things. So they want companies to hand over the records and the employee names of those that were dealing illegally in whatever they're being accused of. But what happened in BNP Paribas' case is they handed over the records after a deadline had passed, so they couldn't charge the individuals.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you're absolutely right, Stuart. They want the perp walk. They want to put a face to the crime.
I think.
And isn't that interesting that they want to now finally put a face to the crime? Who are they kidding? This is so ridiculous. I mean, there's so many crimes in all industries, not just the finance industry. There are so many crimes that always go on every day. And yet, in our business, you'll watch, and we saw, you know, get J.P. Morgan with the whale a few years ago, get fined $5 billion. It didn't even have a dent on their balance sheet. And yet we continue to have these things. Now they want to have a perp walk. What the are you kidding me? You know, we have nothing better to spend our time and our money on. Okay. I mean, half these guys would be in jail. And there's been, you know, I still want to know who the guy that helped Bernie Madoff get away with it, because you know that at some point it will come out that Bernie Madoff, okay, could not have done what he did alone. They were supposedly had regulators in there all the time taking care of what he was supposed to be doing. So are we going to actually believe that somebody else from the outside, one of the regulators, was not involved to some point? Are we going to actually believe that a country and people as smart as we have here could not figure it out that it was a scam? I mean, the Badger and not myself were sitting in a room when it happened, and we immediately said somebody had to know it's a scheme. We knew exactly what it was, and we didn't even know the details right away, but we knew exactly what it was. In fact, the Badger also wrote a piece that was published in the USA Today regarding this very thing. But yet, do we actually believe that somebody from the inside of the SEC or one of the regulating bodies was not in on it? I mean, again, I can't accuse anybody. Nobody's been proved. But now they want to have a perp walk for some of these other things. I mean, where are we headed with this nonsense and crap? I mean, think about it. Okay, now, you know, all of the things that have been done, and now we want to start to do these perp walks. Look, we know one thing, okay? Something happens every single day that is not to the rules. I guarantee it. That I will say with an absolute 100% of certainty, that there are things happening in every industry every day that are not, that don't abide by the rules, that are illegal. I don't know where, I don't know what, but I can guarantee it, because we know how the system works and all these things always come up, but unfortunately, they always come up too late. And that, again, I think, is a problem as well. And those are things that, again, grind my, you know what, and get under my skin, because it happens all the time. But yet, our regulators, they're worried about, you know, minor things that have dramatic effect on individuals, but yet the major things, they just somehow magically slip away. Now, again, to me, a joke, a total joke. But we'll see what happens. But anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org, because we'll write some of that stuff and we'll tell you some of the things that are going on well ahead of it than anybody else. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
I've been feeling real good.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz having a good time today. And as we await the smoke to come from the Fed and what they're going to do, but we're having some fun playing with the Varney Show and doing some other things. So let's get back and see what's next on the topic from old Mr. Stuart Varney and Ashley and Sandra Smith. Here we go.
They do. Yeah. And then we have New York State's Governor Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo, he is pushing for a $15 per hour minimum wage, and that will be statewide. Sandra, what else have we got on this? $15 an hour, all businesses throughout the state, no matter what.
Right. Across the board. You're talking about a major job killer. I mean, in the previous show, on Mornings with Maria, we interviewed the owner of multiple fast food franchises who said, really? You're going to do this? this to us, all right, I'll put machines up there rather than cashiers.
Right.
This is the way business will respond. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, really. Did I say, hey, you, Todd, did you say, yeah, right, this is the not good news?
It's the worst news possible. It was the worst news when they even talked about it, about raising to that ridiculous number of $15. They're going to take all these McDonald's, Burger King, they're all going to put machines in. You'll have no employees, so we won't have to worry about it. They can all sit home and collect unemployment, because that's what we're doing now by putting in these ridiculous requirements to have guys pay that kind of money. You can't afford to pay that. And minimum wage jobs are not supposed to be a career. Let the people go out and work the job and build up, not sitting there trying to get this, because then we'll have Seattle asking for less hours so they can get more entitlements.
Vote for me and I'll give you more money. That's how it works these days.
And that is, again, you know, that's been the opinion of the Bubba Show from the beginning about this ridiculous minimum wage. We talked about it. Seattle, the people don't want to work as much. They still want to get those entitlements because our great president continues to build these things up and, of course, buying the army of Democrats. And again, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, but again, all he's doing is saying, hey, go out and vote and we'll pay you to stay home and do nothing. But all you got to do is work 2 hours a year or an hour every 2 years, excuse me, and go make sure you make that vote and keep us in power so that we can continue to destroy the United States economy by entitling everybody. And again, if you don't think that we could end up being like a Greece at some point because of it, you know, you can, at some point the market's got to pay. And let's get back to the completion of the Varney segment. Here we go.
By the way, the Dow Industrial has really turned around. Now we're up 42 points. We're expected to open 50 lower. We're up 40 points as of 11 minutes into the session. The NFL kicks off tonight. So I want everyone's Super Bowl pick. And remember, please, one and all, you're on tape. I'm going to start with Ashley, go to Sandra, go to Brad, and then finally with Todd. You first.
Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, Sandra.
It's New England Patriots.
What? Oh.
I feel like it's
And she didn't
happen.
Get the buzzer for that.
Go Chicago Bears.
Brad.
Got to go with the Patriots, but I'm happy about it.
Todd.
Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Okay, I think we got that. You're all on tape. All right, I got it.
Yeah, and it will be, I think this will be the year that Peyton Manning rides off in the white Denver horse. As this is, I believe, will be his last year. I think that he's a little bit older, and I think that injuries are finally catching up to Mr. Manning, one of the greatest quarterback of all time. But at the end of the day, again, I do believe that, you know, that does play an area in sports. But back to business and the business of sports. Just look at the dollars that are being created by the sports. Look at what has happened with salaries and where we go now. And I find that great. Look, it's free markets. And what I want to compare here is the sports world as a free market. Athletes are free to negotiate contracts. You know, they have certain periods where they can't, they have lockdown period, just like markets, but they have certain periods where they become free agents and they can negotiate and make their own deals. Now, why is it that we can't do that in the regular world of jobs? I mean, in the higher end jobs, the top talent negotiates better deals. But what happened to building a career? And what happened to getting a job and actually not getting guaranteed X amount of dollars like the stupid minimum wage you're talking about? But what happened to work pay per performance? Now, again, I believe in paying for performance, and in my employees, I probably overpay. But if they perform, to me, then they're worth an overpayment. And if I can't overpay you, I'm going to fire you, because if you're not up to snuff, if you cannot meet what I need you to do, then why do I want to pay you anything? So I'm going to fire you. I'm going to replace you with somebody who can do the job. Work is not an entitlement. Work is a job in which your job is to create profit for your employer, whether you're working in any department. Because if you're in a big company and you've got an accounts payable department and you've got an accounts receivable department and you've got this department, yes, not everybody is the face or the salesman that is actually generating the revenue, but the back office has to protect the revenue and tell you how to take care of it. And so everybody has a job to do. So what I want to pay is I want to pay more than $15 an hour to my employees, but I want to pay it because they earned it, not because I am being mandated by the government to do that. You know, one of the things that we often forget is the actual hidden costs of a worker. You know, if you're working people full time and you have a benefit program, you are paying benefits. That adds up to be a part of the hourly wage. If you're paying an employee, you have Social Security benefits, which that adds up at the end of the day. So a $15 employee with benefits equates to probably $22 to $23 an hour by the time you figure in all of the costs. Now, unless you're in some goofy business that's making just so much money, okay, and working on gigantic profit margins, those numbers are hard to pay. And I find it very challenging to believe that we have people in office that believe that that would benefit the country and cannot see that jobs will be lost and we will lose more jobs, which will create less retail sales, which will create less of an economy, which will create more people that need to be entitled, which will create more of an issue. But yet, that's what we do. Now, are you kidding? Can we really, as entrepreneurs, as capitalists, can we really look back and say that that's healthy for the country? Can we really say that that's healthy for the economy? You know, again, minimum wage jobs were not designed to be careers. Okay? We are supposed to go to work at a minimum wage job when you're in high school, when you're in college, when you're trying to pay some minimal expenses, and you build yourself into a job. And when you get into the job market, whether you're an entrepreneur and you're running your own business, or if you're working for somebody, your goal is not to sit there and be a minimum wage employee. Your goal is to advance in that company to better your life. But yet we have the government trying to mandate, and we got Pataki, and that's the ridiculousness of it all. Okay, he knows that's never going to get passed through this through the organizations there, through the Congress and the Senate of the state. So he's just making it like, oh, I'm a big shot. We're going to go ahead and enforce it, but it's never going to happen. There is no way that you will see that in New York anytime soon. But yet we get to listen to the dribble and the BS. And quite frankly, to me, it's ridiculous. But, you know, hey, that's the way life goes, and this is just the rhetoric that we need to put up with. But that'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I'm telling you, if you're not checking out thebubbashow.org, you're making a mistake. Great articles, great information. Gives you a perspective from me and my folks. Make sure that you understand it. But that'll do it for today. We're going to step out here now. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow and figure out what the Fed actually did. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, tomorrow, same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.